I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. A busy year in development across the Kansas City region? I'd say, whether it's the opening of a beacon of the performing arts, a shopping mall revived from near death, a business fleeing one side of the state for the other, or a law firm's attempt to build a new office structure in the Country Club Plaza, a whole lot of development has gone on in Kansas City this year. Today, Kansas City Star reporter Kevin Collison shares some of the larger stories from 2011. We'll discuss the impact of the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts on its neighborhood, the revival of Mission's Gateway Shopping Complex, and Posenelli Sugar's switch from a controversial new building on the plaza to a reinvented West Edge office tower. It's Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. If you want to know just what kind of year it's been for development in Kansas City, just consider the last 7 days. During that time, the Star's Kevin Collison has written about a big new YMCA being proposed downtown, the Lyric Opera perhaps becoming the home of a FAA training center, and a long-stalled West Edge project near the plaza moving ever closer to reality as a new home to the Posenelli Law Firm. And that's just 1 week. For a town mired in recession, lots of development deals were popping in 2011. Kevin Collison covers development for the Star, and he joins us here this morning. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm great.
Nice to have you. Well, given that the economy remains in a slump, were you surprised at how much development news happened in town this year?
I am a bit surprised. And, you know, some of these things had been in the works for a long time. This West Edge deal has been creeping along for 5 or 6 years.
Yes.
So the resolution of that was certainly wonderful, but I don't know how much it had to do with the economy. But, you know, considering everything that's been happening in the nation, yeah, there's some good things happening. And I think part of that is just some overdue projects, and also we've got kind of a new attitude in the city these days.
I was going to say, just in theory, given the economy, you should have been sitting on a recliner or a hammock somewhere the whole year and maybe chime in at year's end with a few developments. But, boy, you just were going all year.
Well, it's fun, you know, and it's good to see the city growing. You know, there's still definitely some major issues. The housing sector is still really having problems, and the retail world is just still very, very much in the doldrums. But what's really kind of fascinating is, again, you know, you've got some things going on in the city center. Some of them are just ideas. The YMCA, it's something that's very much in the idea stage. The new director there is exploring to see whether there's a need or a demand for that, and also whether there'd be the wherewithal to fund a project like that. But I think it's, you know, a great idea personally, and it was a nice way to kind of end the year with something of that kind of a interesting angle.
Yeah, I thought there was a Y downtown, at least for many years, in the church with the gold dome as you come into downtown. Wasn't that a Y?
That still is a Y, actually. That's
okay.
The Quality Hill Y.
Okay.
But for folks who are natives of Kansas City, I'm sure many people remember there was a huge Y at 10th and Oak Street, a mm-hmm. big 7-story building. It had been built in 1907. It was an active Y up until roughly 1981. People like Walt Disney and the young Joyce Hall stayed there because it also had rooms. It had all kinds of facilities. And then in 1981, it closed, and it sat there as a derelict building until 1999 when they tore it down for the Isles Davis Park.
Huh, that's where it used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, so where would the new Y go if, in fact, it's pursued here?
Well, they're exploring several potential sites. One would be the north side of Washington Park over near Union Station. There's a couple of sites in the central downtown area. The East Village is being discussed, and I'm trying to think of what the other one is. But you know, it's still very much in the exploratory stage. There's a new guy here, though, who came from David Byrd, who came here about a year and a half ago from Nashville, where he was the COO. And Nashville made a major reinvestment in their downtown YMCA while he was there. And he claims that Kansas City is actually unusual in that it does not have a large downtown Y like many other cities around the country. And I talked to the director of the Nashville Y, and he said it's quite a popular place. A lot of people work out there, a lot of social activities going on there. He said it's quite a nice hub for their revitalized downtown.
I was going to say, guys like, you know, you and me.
Sure.
We
might come in there, we're early, work out.
I might use it, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And what's also kind of fascinating, and again, you know, this is a proposal, but they want to have a preschool there and also daycare. So this would be another asset for people both working and living downtown, which, again, fits into kind of this growing revitalization of the city center that we've been seeing over the past 10 years.
That's amazing. Well, what was the biggest single story on your beat this year? As you look back over all this stuff, what stands out to you the most?
By far the most controversial big story was the whole debate over the Polsinelli-Schuchert headquarters.
Man.
And the big project that Highwoods had proposed and that whole uproar in the neighborhood with the Save the Plaza people, and then the ultimate decision to go to be the White Knight, granted with a lot of city help, for the West Edge project. That certainly was, you know, I felt like I was the Plaza reporter for the longest time because everything seemed to be happening down there.
So what's going to happen with the site where the Polsinelli building was proposed to go this summer? What's happening there? Is it just going to stay there?
You're anticipating my 2012 reporting here.
Yeah.
You know, right now it's the Neptune Apartments.
Right.
And the Highwoods people who own that building vacated the place. I mean, there's no tenants in there. It's an empty building right now. They have a variety of options, none of which I've talked to them about lately, but they certainly could keep it as it is and reopen it as apartments. They could tear down the apartments and build another residential project there. It's zoned for residential. At this point, that's what they'd have to do unless they want to go back through the whole fight to rezone it for office. And I have not heard anything about their immediate plans except it's an empty building right now.
You know, Kevin, there was all this talk at the height of this controversy on the Plaza and how to use the Plaza about developing a new Plaza development plan to avoid having this kind of issue come back again where a developer might want to put in a very tall office complex in the heart of the Plaza. Has that issue been revisited, or are we still sort of has everything gone away now that the controversy has died?
Well, it's certainly died down a bit. I mean, now that the Polsinelli-Schuchert went to the West Edge project, which has all the appropriate zonings and which desperately needed the tenant,
yeah.
Although, again, it is at a wacky price. They had to tear down the building designed by Moshe Safdie that was never completed.
Has it been torn down yet?
It's in the process of being demolished. You go by there now, there's a little wrecker on top of it, tearing down concrete columns, much to the dismay of the neighborhood. The noise is pretty bad from what I hear. But anyway, getting back to the Plaza itself, you know, I believe the opposition is continuing to seek some type of long-term zoning protection for the Plaza. I think this was a real wake-up call to people that as much as we love the Plaza and its fabric, I hesitate to say historic because, again, it comes from the 1920s and it was a But it's definitely got character. It's got charm. It's, you know, I was there yesterday. It's still got the same allure as it's had when I used to be living in Omaha coming down to visit Kansas City. So there are people, I believe, who are still out to try to help make sure that the Plaza's future just does not rely on whoever happens to own it at the time. There was another little hiccup just a couple of months ago when Highwoods wanted to completely renovate the exterior of a building at the corner of Ward Parkway where the Seasons 52 restaurant went in, and the Seasons 52 people, to their credit, were smart enough to realize they did not want to end up with a public relations black eye, so they quickly retreated from this contemporary facade and decided to stick with the Plaza architecture we all know. So it shows that, you know, there's definitely still a need, at least among what some people believe, for some type of stricter zoning to make sure that the people who live in Kansas City have some type of oversight,
yeah,
of how the Plaza is developed in the future.
You know who I feel sorry for in this whole deal with the West Edge is that little restaurant bar just north,
yeah,
JJ's,
yeah,
you know, which has had to endure for years now this empty building and the construction of the building that would become the empty building. Now it has to endure the thing being torn down and rebuilt. Yeah. And you just wonder, it's such a nice place, and I just feel for those folks
And you know that story,
they're
Steve,
victims here.
They're even when they were digging the hole for the garage of the West Edge, they were using explosives, and some of the staff was sitting outside,
right,
and a waitress got winged in the head by a rock from this thing. So they talk about a bad omen. You know, they've definitely had to hang in there. It's certainly hurt their business. The only silver lining they see is that in a couple of years, there'll be a big building with several hundred attorneys ready to have lunch or dinner or cocktails.
Yeah.
and that's keeping them in the game.
I think the Polsinelli folks owe JJ's at least that much, going forward. The other thing that I wonder about in talking about the Plaza and the future of the Plaza is, you know, if you look at the future of retail in this country and sort of the continuing push for shopping to go online, you wonder what the Plaza will be when it comes to retail establishments, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road. And we had this big hubbub about, we can't put an office building there, but will there be retail stores there 15, 20 years ago? Certainly, probably some, but you wonder if it'll be to the extent that it is today.
Well, you know, this is me more personally than any kind of scientific evidence, but I think the Plaza is because of its unique identity, and I think that's the one thing Highwoods has to continue to remember that distinguishes them from the herd is they've got an environment, a pedestrian environment down there that people like to go to be seen, to shop. You're seeing, it seems, a little bit more restaurants starting to
yeah.
creep up
in,
as
right.
far as the percentage of businesses. But again, we went shopping yesterday at the new H&M store, which is a hot retailer, particularly
yeah.
for the young adult demographic.
Which you fit into so nicely.
Yeah, well, our daughter
what were you
does
doing
anyway.
Doing there?
our daughter for Christmas. But,
okay.
but, you know, but again, if they can continue to bring in some of these unique retailers like H&M, I think they'll certainly, you know, continue to have a place in the retail world here. And I think more because it's got this great charm. I mean, J.C. Nichols came up with this environment back in the 1920s that continues to have resonance with people, and I think it's going to continue to have, you know, in the future it's going to do well. But, you know, you've got to be smart. There's a lot of competition out there, and there's certainly the big picture is, you know, how shopping is migrating more to the web as opposed to brick-and-mortar places.
Kevin Collison from The Star is our guest today. We're talking about development in the Kansas City area in 2011, some of the big stories. If you want to join our conversation, you know you can do it. 816-235-2888, our email address, update@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Well, Kevin, this next one had me wondering. The longtime home of the Kansas City Symphony and the Lyric Opera, the Lyric Theater, may turn into a training center for the Federal Aviation Administration. What is that all about? It doesn't seem to make any sense, at least on the surface here at all.
It's the FAA has what they call a conference and training center. It's in Florida right now. They've been hunting for a new location for it since last January. I got a heads up several months ago, but at that time there were at least another half dozen cities competing for this facility. But it does seem like we've made the short list. There was a rather hurried measure introduced to the Kansas City Tax Increment Financing Commission last week from DST Realty, which owns the Lyric. And they seem to think, although they never mentioned the tenant by name, but one of the TIF commissioners said it, that we've got a really good shot at this. And basically what they're talking about is renovating the old theater and office space and having it as a place where the FAA would bring in a couple of hundred people at a time for training and conferences. What would also be the double benefit is they'd be staying at the Marriott Hotel right across the street from it, which would bring in a lot of new business for some of the other investments that have been made downtown, particularly the Power and Light District and some of the other restaurants and bars. But they want to be in close proximity to an airport. I was thinking at first KCI, but then I was told, no, they're talking about the Wheeler Airport.
Because?
Because these people fly in and out, and they want to have minimum hassle when they come in for their training and all these conferences. So, it's not a done deal by any stretch, but they did get approval from the TIF Commission. Yes, we would support help for your redevelopment project if this thing was to happen. And we're just going to have to stay tuned. But I do think that they seem to be very, very optimistic that we got a good shot at landing this. And it would be a great use for the Lyric. It's been empty now since the Symphony and the Opera moved into the new Kauffman Center. And, you know, to be honest with you, what's the marketplace for an old Masonic temple. There's not exactly a lot of folks, but they could use perhaps the auditorium for training sessions, and apparently there's plenty of space for the other uses they'd like to do.
We talked last week about the whole idea of repurposing old buildings,
exactly.
New uses for old buildings, and what a classic example this is of something like that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And Channel 9 used to be in there, right, the Lyric
Opera? I believe
opera.
So, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, Kevin Collison's our guest. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. You can also email us updatedate@kcur.org. Is the Plaza controversy over as far as you're concerned? What do you make of this new use of the West Edge building? And how much sympathy do you have for JJ's, a little bar and restaurant just to the north of the West Edge building? Well, speaking of the West Edge, there were all these objections from neighborhood residents back in those days. You know, a city council committee had endorsed a plan for the largest rental project in the area for more than a decade, $30 million apartment development near the Country Club Plaza that was going to be 177 units. You just reported about this, Kevin. What's that all about?
This does get back into the big picture about the plaza and its area. As part of the same, it's kind of the same theory as what happened with the Highwoods proposal for the Polsinelli Bridge building, in that, there was a lot of studies that have been done to create design guidelines for what we want to see in Kansas City around the plaza. One of them was we didn't want to see an office building where the Neptune site is. Another was they wanted to have the taller buildings concentrated in what they called the rim. And they wanted to protect the neighborhood. This was a separate Westport Plaza neighborhood plan that came out a few years ago. A group of folks, Price Development, planned to build an apartment project at 46th and Penn. The area is zoned according to the old plan or the Westport Plaza plan for medium density. These guys said we need to have high density here to make this thing work. They worked with the neighborhood for several months trying to come up with a compromise. They ended up going along with a plan that had three stories on the north side next to all these single-family bungalows in the Westport Plaza area, mm-hmm. and then five stories along 46th Street, which is closer to the larger buildings of the plaza. The neighborhood still didn't like it, but the city council felt this, it was an important enough investment. The builder's not asking for any incentives. It's going to kick in several hundred grand a year to the city in taxes, and it's also going to be 177 upscale apartments, so you're going to bring in some people getting back to the plaza that would want to shop there and work there and patronize the businesses.
So, again, this is between the plaza and Westport.
Between the plaza and Westport, yeah, just to the north in that whole area where St. Luke's Hospital is.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting little petri dish in that area because you got a lot of development pressure. I mean, if the city, and this is one of the arguments one of the council members made, if the city wants to increase in population, wants to create the kind of density that would support the mass transit we keep talking about, that plaza Westport area is going to be an appealing place for people who want that kind of urban lifestyle. And you're going to run into these tensions. Now, Jim Glover wants to do what he can to help ease the pain to the neighborhood. So as part of this deal, there was a companion resolution where some of the monies potentially that are going to be generated by this new apartment building are going to go in to help, with streets and curbs and maybe create a neighborhood parking district and other things to try to help make sure that at least some of the single family character of that neighborhood is preserved. But these are the kinds of pressures you see in big cities when you want to get people living in them.
Yeah. Okay. So 177 units.
It is definitely going to happen. The council approved that deal. So.
And the construction begins next year.
This spring, they hope. Yeah.
Okay. Again, our number 816-235-2888. Kevin Collison from The Star is our guest. Chris from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Hi. I'm really enjoying the program.
Thanks.
The only time, even if I'm a registered Republican, the only time I have ever seen trickle-down economics work is in building and construction development projects. It really rejuvenates the economy in the immediate area of the city. And one of the areas I think that we've talked about on the show before is the Kemper Arena, that the cost of maintenance just
right.
about will cover a new building over time. And American Rail do want a new building. And I was wondering if you could give us an update on that. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Well, Chris, you're anticipating my column for tomorrow, actually.
Give us a preview, Kevin.
Well, this idea that the Royal came out with a couple of months ago to tear down Kemper and build a new equestrian and agricultural center, totally price tag around $70 million, with maybe $10 million being raised by private sources and the city coming up with $60. That's just, from what I can tell, a non-starter. The mayor, mm-hmm. I had a nice one-on-one with him a few weeks ago. This is not high on his priority. So what made me curious was there was a proposal back 10 years ago when the Sprint Center was being discussed. There was a serious study done about reuses for Kemper. And a very qualified architect, Ron Lubinsky, one of the deans of sports architectures in this town, came out with an idea that either you could raise the floor and create kind of an animal holding area beneath it and a much larger rodeo floor and cut the seating bowl in half, or you could lower the ceiling, essentially create a new environment within the Kemper and again cut the seating in half. And both those projects, and again, this is in 2002, he estimated, or the people who put the study together, could be done for $2 to $10 million.
So way less money.
So, yeah, way less money. And I've been curious why nobody has talked about these proposals that were submitted 10 years ago. And the Royal people, I did talk to Mariner Kemper, and I talked to the director there. You know, they consider this kind of a Band-Aid approach that wouldn't take care of the overall needs, and talked about the building being 40 years old, which to me, I just got back from Cairo. I was seeing 5,000-year-old buildings. I don't know why 40 years old is suddenly obsolete. But, Lubinsky certainly said this is stuff that's still legitimate. He still thinks it's got some value. So perhaps, and I'm, you know, not trying to, I just threw this back out to remind people that there are some ideas about how Kemper could be retrofitted to be a smaller venue, to be very friendly to what the American Royal wants. Maybe these things might suddenly get to, well, not suddenly, maybe we can revisit some of these ideas. But I think the big picture, the big proposal, the Royal threw out in October, I haven't heard anybody saluting that flag yet.
Well, no one – is the Kemper being used really for anything these days other than, you know, the American Royal occasionally? Or where are we?
I think it is used occasionally. I'm not quite sure.
Demolition derbies.
You know, well, the whole theory – they talked about before was that only dirt events would be down at Kemper and they wouldn't do that at Sprint. Well, the bottom line is you've got the folks at Anschutz Entertainment Group operating both venues, and they're going to put everything they can into the Sprint Center to make sure that that's making lots of money for them. And, you know, again, the surplus amount of money that's being made at the Sprint Center is basically covering the shortfalls at Kemper. So, you know, it's not the greatest equilibrium in the world, but right now Kemper's not costing the city anything because the additional revenues that are being generated by the Sprint Center are basically covering the shortfalls on keeping Kemper open. And, you know, it's an issue, but I did think, you know, it would be worth taking a look at some of these less expensive ideas that were submitted 10 years ago.
Dan from Prairie Village. Dan, you're on Up to Date with Kevin Collison. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. It kind of relates back to that Polsinelli building in the West Edge and all that. And when they were wanting to tear down the Neptune and all that, they emptied the Neptune apartments out. They cleared all the tenants out of there and pretty much have abandoned the thing. But now that the West Edge is you know, being used instead of the, you know, doing that stupid thing, I thought was dumb. And Neptune can be used again. Are they going to revitalize that thing and bring it back to life? I mean, it was a real nice apartment complex years ago.
Yeah, Dan, we were actually talking about that at the beginning of the show. Right now, you're right. I mean, it is empty. It could be reused. They could tear it down, they meaning Highwoods. To be honest with you, I have not talked to Highwoods since all the furor died down and the West Edge was chosen, but that's certainly going to be on my to-do list early in the new year is ask them what their plans are for that Neptune building.
Well, speaking of furor, you just wrote that the new management of what had been the Hyatt downtown at Crown Center had sweetened the release of the drawings of their $13 million lobby renovation plan with a gift, a $5,000 donation to the Skywalk Memorial Foundation. But you pointed out that the Hyatt Corporation itself, the previous owner, had declined to make a donation. What did you make of that? Because we talked about this on Nick Haines' show on Friday on KCPT, and it seemed like such a PR blunder to me for Hyatt to sort of walk away from this whole thing, Kevin.
Well, I kind of came in late to this. I mean, I basically did the story, and it's something, it's an important distinction here. Hyatt never really owned that building. The building is actually owned by Crown Center.
They made money from it.
They certainly did. They were the managers of the hotel. They had their flag on that thing since 1970, whatever, when it opened. I do think it was a public relations blunder that they, you know, could have at least put some money into this fund. I think the Sheraton people who are now taking over that building and operating it as their hotel realize that, you know, for us, for chump change, to be honest with you, $5,000 to these big corporations, that's nothing.
Right.
You know, they could get at least some goodwill. You know, again, the Hyatt guy, I think there was a little sour grapes going on there. I think Hyatt wanted to continue to manage that hotel, from what I understand. But the Crown Center folks who own the building decided it would be more beneficial to have both the Sheraton and the Westin run by Starwoods, which is kind of the mothership for all these hotel flags we're talking about, because they could then jointly market them for conventions, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Hyatt felt a little miffed. Again, I don't know how far up the ladder this went. Yeah, I know they contacted one of our coworkers at the Star, contacted the manager who had been at the Hyatt. I think he's down in Dallas now, and he said, look, you know, we just – it never went anywhere, and then we lost the management rights. But that certainly begs the question. It would have been a very easy gesture for them to make. And because, again, whether they like it or not, that monument is going to say – the Hyatt disaster, you know, whether the Hyatt's got anything to do with that building anymore, their name is going to be living on with that monument.
I would have, if I'm the Hyatt, I'd fire their PR people for not
somebody was asleep
that
at the
one
switch.
That's somebody
sure.
was asleep at the switch. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with Star development reporter Kevin Kyleson. We'll talk about how Westport's doing these days, the Kauffman Center and Sprint, and the health of Kansas City's downtown entertainment district, as well as the new stuff going on in Western Wyandotte County at all the business going on out there. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our critics' reviews of the latest independent foreign and documentary films and their favorites of the 2011 year, you'll find all of it at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the program, the big religion stories in 2011 and a look at Kansas Governor Sam Brownback's school funding plan. That's tomorrow on the show. This hour, we're talking with Kevin Kyleson. He's the development writer for the Kansas City Star about all the big development stories in the year 2011. And Kevin, how's Westport doing these days? Because, you know, in so many ways, it seems like this city's long-lost stepchild these days. You just don't think about Westport that much anymore.
And I guess I'm not in the prime age range for hanging out
in
Westport.
Maybe that's part of my issue here.
You know, from what I know, I think they're doing relatively well. They created a new community improvement district there about a year or two ago, which I think has done a lot.
They tax themselves to make
the place look more attractive and have some guys patrolling. And I think, you know, I don't believe there's any significant vacancies over there. And I do think from what, again, I'm not in the prime range for partying at night anymore, but I think that, you know, now that the Power and Light District has lost a little of its newness, that some of the whole night scene is starting to migrate back to the Westport area. Again, this is just totally second, third-hand information. But I think the biggest thing they did for themselves is create this community improvement district to help promote it.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, it's been fairly quiet there, at least as far as we know. And I know that there is a guy that built a condo project in Westport. I think he might have been a little ahead of himself. I'm not quite sure how well he's doing, and I don't know how well they're doing on the retail front. But I think the old traditional businesses and buildings there. I know Kelly's is still doing well, and they opened up a rooftop bar, and they seem to be happy. you know, so I think Westport, you know, is holding its own. I think its charm, again, is standing the test of time, you know, compared to some of these other newer entertainment areas.
I just miss Streetside Records. I miss that store and hanging out there. That was always a nice time. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Well, I'm wondering about spinoff businesses near the Kauffman Center and the new Sprint Arena. Kevin, are we seeing a springing up of restaurants and shops near both centers as some anticipated when they were built, or not as much as we thought?
Springing might be a little bit of an optimistic verb, but there are some signs that they are attracting, if not actual investment, at least some strong interest. With the Kauffman Center. I had a story in the other day Sporting Innovations, which is an offshoot of Sporting KC, the owners of the soccer team, they have come up with some pretty cool software applications for their new Livestrong Stadium that's gotten a lot of interest from pro sports and other entertainment venues. And they want to take the old Hanna Rubber building, which is only a block away from the Kauffman Center, and renovate that for offices for this new company they're starting. Or, well, it started, but new offices for them. So that would be a significant investment in taking an old building that, you know, actually is well used. The Hanna Rubber people have treated it with great respect. But this would be, you know, some smart, hip, younger people, which gets into the overall motif of what they're hoping to, that both the Kauffman Sprint Center, Power and Light District, the whole revitalized downtown. I had a story in the paper the other day about DSI, which is a software company in Overland Park that's taking a bunch of space in a building downtown. And again, the theme is they think that that urban environment is a suitable place to recruit younger, more tech-savvy type workers. The big picture things around the Kauffman Center that are still very much in the discussion stage, UMKC is having serious discussions about moving their Conservatory of Music and Dance, and they'd like to put it near the Kauffman Center to kind of create a Juilliard type of environment where you got this great performing arts school right next to a great performing arts venue. And also there is some serious discussion going on, still, you know, a work in progress. The downtown council is talking to the city about what can we do to get a signature large residential project going, new construction. And I think the crossroads somewhere in that Kauffman Center is a place that they would really like to do something with some real sizzle to it. They're talking 1,000 units, something along the order of Quality Hill, to really introduce another level of living downtown. You know, there's a lot of challenges to that. It's going to take some city help because it's still extremely expensive to build new construction. Most of the housing downtown has been in renovated historic or older buildings. It still costs a lot to build new downtown, and it's still hard for a city like Kansas City to get the kind of rents that developers need to make these things profitable.
You know, but is there a sense, though, that with the Sprint Arena particularly, that there was all this sort of expectation that with an arena that's as busy as that arena is, that it would really result in major spinoff? I mean, certainly we have the Downtown Entertainment District there. A few things on the south side of the Sprint Arena, sort of between the Star Building and Sprint, that you can point to. But has it been what was expected or not?
I think It's certainly a work in progress. I mean, there is a vacant lot just to the north at the corner of it's between, I think, 12th and 13th and Grand, where Little Jake's Barbecue used to be, and some of that is a prime development site that they are, once that thing finally somebody chooses that as a potential place to as a building site, I think will be one of the first really large payoffs. We're still waiting. I know it's been a bridesmaid a couple of times, but it hasn't been chosen for projects. Yeah. At one time AMC, when they were trying to keep them downtown, had been pitched that site. So, you know, all I can say is it's a hell of a lot better than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's really created that next wave of investment piggybacking on that, I think we're still kind of in the waiting game on that. Although, you know, again, who knows what downtown would have been like without those investments.
You do get a sense that the Kauffman Center is something of an island unto itself.
Yeah. It's hopefully it's going to be, you know, the center of a revitalized Crossroads Arts District. And not to say there's not a lot of cool stuff going on in the Crossroads right now. There are definitely smaller businesses that continue to open. Shirley Helzberg took the old Vitagraph building and the Webster House, renovated those properties into beautiful, beautiful structures.
Stunning.
So there's definitely some good things happening. But I think the big thing that people are talking about, and again, we didn't mention this, is this whole streetcar idea, which would basically link Crown Center with the River Market and pass through the crossroads near Kauffman and hopefully attract some development along that line, which particularly the UMKC Conservatory, which a lot of people say would bring 1,000 students and faculty downtown. And, you know, if the downtown council and the city can figure out a way to make it economically feasible, if you got a significant influx of new people living in that area, I think, you know, you really got some mojo going for that part of town.
John from Shawnee writes us this at uptodate@kcur.org. Can you talk about the future of development in suburbia as it relates to transportation costs in terms of gas and also the construction of roads?
Well, those are big questions.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I really wish I could get into that with any kind of specificity. I think intuitively you think as energy costs continue to increase, that's going to reward density and better mass transit. We're certainly still not quite anywhere near there. I mean, there's still a lot of outward sprawl going on in the area. And we don't seem to have a lot of momentum yet for any kind of mass transit. Of, you know, I know
streetcars are coming up.
Streetcars are being talked about downtown. I know
Is that a done deal, or is that still being talked about?
Oh, no, it's still far from a done deal. They're talking about a financing mechanism that would actually layer an additional tax on downtown property owners. It's going to be a bit of a hard sell. I know Mike Sanders is talking about a heavy rail system in Jackson County. Johnson County, you know, I know they're doing some things with buses, but I have not heard any significant discussion of rail-type transit there. So we're really, you know, still a metropolitan area that is just not gotten its head around yet an intelligent mass transit system to try to you know, increase density and to maybe reduce some of the sprawl. If it's going on out there, it's below the radar right now.
That has been such a tough nut.
It's a tough deal, you know.
Boy, yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Joel from Kansas City, Missouri. Joel, you're on up today. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. Going back to the success of Westport, again, I'm one of those people who's past the age demographic to be hanging out late at night. But it's just a great destination to go to eat. Some of the new restaurants that have opened there in the past few years, like Blue Stem and Pot Pie and Beer Kitchen and Westport
right.
Cafe, in addition to, you know, the staples that have been there for a while, like Californo's and Westport Flea Market and McCoy's and that sort of thing. It's just for my age group. I know a lot of my friends just love going down and eat.
Yeah, okay.
That's great. Yeah, and, you know, 39th Street in the city up near KU Med is still a very vibrant
really
area.
Really vibrant.
And
yeah.
Actually, the Kansans are starting to get with the program, and they're developing a project on the Kansas side on Rainbow Boulevard that is going to bring in some new restaurants and other businesses. So, yeah, there's definitely some great, great nodes. And one of the areas I also want to quickly give a shout-out to that people don't realize is Armor Boulevard in the city. A developer, Antheus, came in, and they have done an incredible job taking all those beautiful old apartment hotels and bringing new apartments in there. So there's definitely some centers of activity going on in the city.
Yeah. Joel, thank you. Ted from Liberty. Ted, you're on up to date. Good morning.
This is Ken. Pardon me. Thanks for taking my call. I've seen development in other metropolitan areas as far as mass transit goes, like rail lines or what have you, and wherever they go, like the BART in San Francisco or the rail in San Diego, and I've seen before and after scenarios, and I can't reinforce enough, and one thing that is not talked about enough is the development and the revitalization that occurs in the areas surrounding the stations and the hubs. It's simply absolutely amazing. San Diego, downtown San Diego, is a wasteland before they put that rail in. And then they put the rail in, and it took, admittedly, it took years. But downtown San Diego, I just can't explain how much it changed and how much better it got.
Right.
It's just absolutely amazing. And I'd just like your guest to comment on that. And I'll take my answer off of here.
Yeah, thank you, Ted.
Ted's right, you know, extremely correct. I mean, people oftentimes just think of transit in terms of transportation, but it is much about development as it is about transportation. There is a lot of evidence out there where, you know, stations for rail transit, and it has to be rail. People have to know that there's a fixed investment going on there that's just not going to go away in 10 years. But that definitely includes a lot of spinoff development around it, apartments, residential, or, you know, retail. And, it's as much about development as it is about transportation as far as those kinds of investments go.
How is the downtown entertainment district doing, Kevin? I mean, I haven't heard much lately. They built this thing just as the economy was tanking, and I know it's been a struggle in a whole lot of ways for Cordish. What's happening there?
I think the best way to describe it is they are hanging in there. I mean, it really has been treading water for the past couple of years. You know, nobody regrets the city's investment in this thing, but it has become a long-term liability. I mean, they're
millions
talking
of dollars a year.
Tens of million or $10 to $15 million a year direct cash subsidies that
wow.
was supposed to pay for itself with the new tax revenues, and it hasn't. You know, as you mentioned, they opened it up just as the economy tanked. Things are starting to crawl back. You are seeing, you know, it seems to hit – it's got some kind of an equilibrium where about two-thirds of the space is occupied. And if somebody closes, somebody comes in. But they still have a significant chunk of real estate that has not gotten tenants yet. Mm-hmm. There are people wondering, you know, are they as aggressive as they could be in trying to bring in new tenants? I talk to people. Downtown still is a – scary marketplace for a lot of people who are used to the tried-and-true suburban-type development. Cordish also has some space available for residential development, getting back to what a big push is. They've got some parking lots along Truman on the south side of the project that were reserved for apartments. They've also got the Midland building behind the Midland Theater, which I keep hearing that is going to be developed into housing. And, of course, they've got the site right next to the Cosentino's that originally had been talked about for a condo tower. And, of course, nobody's talking about building new condominiums in Kansas City anyway these days.
The condo market's pretty much gone.
Well, it's pretty tough. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, bankers have been very difficult in loaning. There have been sales, but many of the – well, many, it's a bit of a stretch. Several of the projects that originally were talked about as condo projects – the developers just said, forget about it. We'll lease the units until the market starts improving. But the Power and Light District, again, nobody that I know of regrets the fact that the city helped the Cordish folks do that project. It filled a huge hole that had been festering in downtown for years. It does give people things to do. It does keep us more attractive as a convention destination. It yeah. certainly gives – but it certainly has not hit the potential or it hasn't been fully realized yet, that's for sure.
How about a downtown convention hotel? Mayor James was just sitting in the chair you're sitting in a few days ago saying, we've got to have it.
We can't go forward
without it. We have this huge convention center, Bartle Hall. We don't have a place to – for people to sleep when they come to Bartle Hall. It doesn't make any sense to them.
Well, you know, there are definitely the mayor is certainly very vocal in his support for it. But the big caveat is they don't want to get in getting back to the Power and Light District. They don't want to get into another deal where the city's credit is on the line if these projects fail to perform financially.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, they're not able to put together that kind of a private financing arrangement that would protect the city's credit. So that's the nut they have to crack. They have to find a developer who's confident enough about downtown Kansas City and its potential for more convention business that'll be willing to take the terms in which the city, which would certainly provide incentives in the way of tax incentives to help the deal, would not have its credit on the line, which is what happened with the Power and Light District.
Kevin Colliston's our guest. He covers development for the Kansas City Star. Our number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, update@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, downtown housing, is it pretty much at capacity these days? You've been to the old downtown federal courthouse that's been converted to apartments, and what did you make of that? How crowded is the market these days?
Well, you know, to talk to people who are familiar with the at least the rental market, there's mm-hmm. a big demand for affordable apartments in downtown that just – you know, they could certainly probably add another 1,000 units and they'd probably absorb them. I mean,
Because things are pretty close to a capacity. They,
for many years, again, the big engine for bringing housing downtown has been renovating and reusing these older buildings that had been empty for decades as apartments and lofts. And those programs were funded by the State Historic Tax Credit Program and Affordable Housing Tax Credit Programs to a certain extent. They've been extremely successful, but that model is threatened on a couple of fronts. One, there aren't that many attractive older buildings left to be rehabbed, and B, those tax credit programs have been under assault down in Jeff City. They almost repealed an important element in a special session of the legislature. That economic development session fell apart, which spared it for the time being. But there is an attitude down in Jeff City that these tax credit programs are getting out of control and they need to be reined in. Getting back to the big nut, again, is just trying to come up with a way to build new stuff. And it's just very expensive.
So you're saying if you want to rent an apartment downtown these days, you got to look a little bit.
You got to look. Yeah. You know, we were on the show a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago with Christina Boveri. They had a downtown housing thing. And, you know, she was saying it's definitely getting tough. Getting back to what you asked about, the old U.S. courthouse at 811 Grand was the most recent new Well, it was this beautiful old building built in the 30s. It had been empty for 15 years after they opened up the new federal courthouse. These very creative, persistent people from Wisconsin, Alexander Company, finally got this thing, and it's a beautiful building. Again, mm-hmm. this is not just housing for our city. This is the character. This is the history. This is the fabric of Kansas City. You know, a building that, you know, was Harry Truman had his office there, and these great court decisions were decided there, is now going to be another part of the Kansas City landscape for another 50 years. And the East Village, which is this project we've been writing about for several years now, Swope Community Builders did get their first housing project completed there. It's a 50-unit apartment building. From what I hear, it's been leasing quite rapidly. There is some more potential there for more housing to be built there. They want to build up to 1,200 units. Again, like everything in this economy, getting the financing together and making it work is still pretty sticky situation.
You know, one phrase I haven't heard a whole lot of lately is TIF. You know, that's tax increment financing. Right. That was such a big issue in former Mayor Mark Funkhauser's administration. He opposed TIF by and large, and Mayor Sly James seems to have a more open attitude about it. What's happening with TIF under Mayor Sly James?
Well, you know, again, the proposal we just talked about earlier in the show, the FAA,
right.
if they
you
were to do
TIF
the Lyric building,
that
would be a big TIF project. They, they would like a lot of tax incentives to go along with that deal. I mean, it's still alive and kicking. It's just a matter that the pipeline really dried up a lot during the Funkhauser administration, you know, for a couple of reasons. A, the economy was sour, and B, there was certainly – most people knew the mayor was very opposed to those kinds of things, and the city had put in a very interesting new program that some people say is quite cumbersome, their new economic development incentive program that people didn't really – as the mayor told me, Mayor James, it added a note of an uncertainty into something that developers just don't like. I think we're going to see activity pick up. They're looking – well, they just – brought in a new TIF commissioner. The Economic Development Corporation, which is the umbrella agency, is looking for a new director. I think, you know, the mayor's put his stamp on there. He's got his TIF commission in there. They still work with some of the other taxing jurisdictions. I think it's just a matter of, like, things getting revved up again. And again, we just had this FAA deal, which was part of it. And the Antioch Mall actually just got a TIF, which is this aging shopping center in the Northland that is now going to be completely renovated with, again, the assistance of tax increment financing.
What's going on in Western Wyandotte County these days? I know the development boom sort of continues out there. What's happening?
It's a phenomenal area. I mean, you know, the Livestrong Stadium opened up last summer. The Legends,
amazing place,
which
too.
Is a gorgeous stadium.
Yeah.
You know, the Legends, I think, is doing okay. I know they're the owner had to file for some kind of a financial reorganization, but anybody that goes out there to visit, it seems to be a thriving retail district. What also is, you've got the casino, a big casino that's going to be opening up next year, which is going to bring even more bodies into that area. And Cerner is now coming through with their promise. When they did the Livestrong Stadium deal, the sweetener – well, not the sweetener. That was the sweetener. The cake was 4,000 Cerner jobs, and so they have announced that they're breaking ground on their office project out there. So it's just a phenomenal situation as far as just where 10, 15 years ago it was very, very underdeveloped, and now it's a major commercial – economic tourism hub for the metropolitan area.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, closer to home, closer to my home, in fact, the Mission Mall, a Walmart, is about to move down the street to Mission. It's near Shawnee Mission Parkway from its current home in Roland Park. What do you make of that? Are plans for a world-class aquarium as part of that complex still alive as far as you know?
Yeah, this is still a Starbonds deal. In fact, I'm still waiting to talk to the developer to try to find out more about the specifics of the plan. But, you know, what happened was, as you remember, you know, this Walmart wanted to go into that corner 5-6 years ago where the old shopping center used to be, and folks in Mission just did not want a standalone big Walmart at that corner. So they went away. They recruited this guy, Tom Valente. Well, not Tom Valente. He actually bought the property and tore it down, and he had this very ambitious plan for this mixed-use project with shopping and housing and offices. And that didn't go anywhere with the economy. And then he came up with the idea of doing the aquarium, and he got Starbond authorization for that. Then he went back out to try to find more retailers to make the whole thing work and was having real problems. Again, this is all during the recession. So now, lo and behold, 5 years later, Walmart says, hey, we'd still like to go there. We'd like to be part of this bigger deal. It's not just the standalone Walmart. Again, I'd be real curious to see how this all designed out. But so the aquarium's still part of the deal. The Walmart's now part of the deal. He's got other retailers. He's got a movie complex. He's got apartments in this thing.
Wow.
It'll be, you know, God bless the architects. I'm going to be curious to see how this all shapes up.
Just really quickly, Kevin, what do you make of the city's decision here to put a Walmart at the gateway to Mission? I mean, I know everyone, it's easy to bash on Walmart, and maybe for good reason, but what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I think that's why I'm really curious to see how the architects work this into the project. Now, they say we're not going to have a standalone Walmart. It's going to be incorporated in this larger development with lots of other stuff. And so it'll be fascinating to see.
It'll be camouflaged.
Well, it's certainly going to be buried among other things.
Yeah, okay. It's Kevin Collison from the Kansas City Star. Thanks a lot for coming in, Kevin.
Oh, it's a great
time. Job. Always good to have you here. You can find more information about our guests, our program schedule, and podcast at thenewkcur.org. Don't forget to follow this program on Facebook and Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Be sure to join us tomorrow for a look at the top religion stories of 2011 and a new funding plan for Kansas schools. Our theme music is by Bobby Watson and the UMKC Conservatory of Music Concert Jazz Band. We had help today from KCUR's Danny Alexander, Maria Carter, and Kim Noble. The show is produced by Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.